Today, I want to talk about God. This whole chapter is an amazing story. It's kind of like a reflection, I guess, is a better word, the best word I can think of. David's reflecting on all the things that God has done in his life and what he's meant for him. And I guess what I would like to do at the end of this is help you to think through God's work in your own life. You know, he's been involved in our lives even before we knew it. Even before we were aware of him, the Bible says, before you were in your mother's womb, I knew you and called us for a reason. So even before we even existed, somehow God was involved in our life. And I don't know how old you were when you got saved, but I was 19 when I got saved. And I know the Lord was at work in my life even before then, drawing me to himself. I mean, I can look back on it now, and I can see that there were decisions that I made when I was in the seventh grade that led me to the day I got saved. You know, and I didn't know it was God. I didn't know that God was that involved in my life, but it's important, I think, for us to step back once in a while and just evaluate what exactly is it that God has done in my life. And that's what this whole chapter is really that. And so let's pray, and we'll look at it together. But more than what David learned, I pray that maybe your eyes will open up again and you'll remember all the good and beautiful and wonderful things God has done in your life. And he's not done with you yet. Father, I ask you, open up your word to us today. We're going to read today about David's reflection of what you meant to him, all the ways that you were involved in his life. And when I read this, it caused me to wonder the same thing and to think about the same kinds of things. And I ask you, Lord, to help us today to never forget. Don't get caught up in the busyness of this life and forget your involvement. Open our eyes to see it and praise you for it. I ask you in Jesus' name, amen. All right, I'm in 2 Samuel 22. The title of this message today is called He. He. When you go through this psalm, this story, this chapter of the Bible, read it sometime and ask yourself how many times he uses the word he. Why? Because he's talking about him. He's talking about God. He uses the word he. He uses the word him. And he uses the word your over and over and over and over again. We'll start out with verse 1. David sang to the Lord the words of this psalm. When the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. How many of you know in the story we've been reading about David, he had a lot of enemies. There was a lot of fighting. David was known as a man with bloody hands. That's the reason why he couldn't even build the temple, because he was a man who was a warrior. And he had bloody hands, and he was constantly fighting and in battle, sometimes running away from those who were chasing him, trying to take over his kingdom. But he was a man who had a lot of enemies. And the Bible says here that David sang this song. He got up one day and he began to worship, and he sang to the Lord the words of this song, which we're going to read here in a moment. But he did it because the Lord delivered him. In other words, I want you to think about your life and David's life, that God has an interactive relationship with us. You know, Christianity is not just a religion where we have a certain belief system. God calls us into a relationship where we recognize his movement in our life. We can sing to him and tell him, what's that song? The Soldiers. Hum it. Huh? Hum it. I can't even hum it. Onward, Christian soldiers. You know, we sing songs like that, and they're good because they remind us of things, but wouldn't it be great if you could sing about the Christian soldier that you've been, that God has brought victory in your life? So if you sing that song, if you stand and talk about it, you're remembering the victories God's brought to you, because God wants to have this interpersonal, interactive relationship with us. It's much more than a belief system. It is a belief system, but God desires a relationship with us. And I see that with David. David sang to the Lord. When we come here to worship, you know, I don't know who you're singing to. I'm singing to Jesus. And I'm telling him. I'm hearing these words that we're singing, and I've memorized many of them. But I'm singing to him. And I don't care what I sound like. You know, people are afraid. I'm afraid to sing too loud because people around me might get offended. Let them get offended. You're singing to Jesus. Let it rip. You know, tell him what a great God he is, what a beautiful Savior, and all the wonderful things he's done in your life. This is what David's doing here. He's singing to the Lord. That speaks to me about relationship. And he's singing because the Lord delivered him. And that is also relationship. He can look back in his life and say, I remember this event. I remember that event. God did this in my life. God did this in my life. God did this. And it caused him to sing, to praise, and to worship, and to remember all the beautiful things God has done. I want you to think back, if you can, and remember the very first time something happened in your life that made you recognize, God sees me. God knows what's going on in my life. I remember my time, and I'll tell you about it right now. I mean, I maybe shared this story before, so some of you have heard it. If you have, you're going to hear it again. I don't know if you knew it, but before we were saved, my wife and I were homeless. And we were actually walking around in the streets of Anchorage, Alaska, eating out of garbage cans, if you can believe that. And that was, you know, the Lord had to, I think, bring us down to make us look up. I don't know what it was, but we were at our lowest spot. And, you know, graciously, he saved us. And I'll never, ever be able to say enough about that. The day that he saved our lives. I mean, what can you say? That he looked down upon us, two young people, not even knowing what the world's about, and he saved us. But I don't know, I needed to have a car. I didn't make a lot of money, and I was paying, you know, paycheck to paycheck. And there was a brother in the church that said, I'm going to give you a car. I'm going to sell you this car for $300. And it was a, believe it or not, it was a 1965 Mustang, for those of you who, it was $300. And he said, I said, well, I really don't have that much money. I said, I'm living paycheck to paycheck. He said, pay me when you can. I said, okay. So I get this car, we're riding around, and I started feeling guilty walking into church. Because every time I see this guy, I'm thinking, man, I owe him $300, and I never can pay him. And I was feeling uneasy about that whole thing. Well, on a Sunday morning, on a particular Sunday morning, the pastor of our church got up and he taught about tithing. I had never, ever, ever in my life heard something like that. I came from a tradition where, you know, our parents gave us a little envelope, put a quarter or something in there. I mean, know what I'm talking about. You've seen them before? You're in church and you feel that thing and you feel that little dime or whatever it was, and I'll tell you, they have these little serrated edges on there. You go out, there's a candy store right down the road, you know? But I heard this message about tithing, and it blew my mind. I said, I can't believe this. I've never heard this before. And God says this is holy unto him. And so I started calculating out. We had been saved exactly 10 weeks. And I was paid every week. So we came home from church that night with Ruth, and I said, honey, I said, I want to give our tithe to the Lord. And we've been saved 10 weeks, so I'm going to give my entire paycheck. Now, that was a I don't even want to say it was necessarily a step of faith. I don't even know. It might have been faith, but what it really was more than anything else is I wanted to do what God wanted me to do. And I had this understanding that I had never had before. And so it was really easy. I got my paycheck that day on that Friday. I put the whole amount in the box at the church. And we didn't work. It's like, hey, this is what God wants. And that night we came home from church, and underneath our apartment door was a little envelope. Well, I opened the envelope up, and there's a bunch of $1 bills. I start counting all these money. Then there were some fives, and there were tens. I said, you know how much was in there? Anybody guess? $300. Exactly, $300. And I tell you, I looked at that, and I was like, it just blew my mind. It was on that very day that I said, okay, Lord, I see this in your word. I want to do what you want me to do. On that very day, he gave me the money to pay for that car. And you not believe how excited I was on Sunday morning to come to church. You know, I've been kind of avoiding this man. No eye contact. It's like, God bless you, brother. But on that Sunday morning, I came and I said, hey, here. And I'll tell you what, that was the first time something happened in my life that I recognized God knows all about me. And he's looking and he's watching. I mean, I don't even know who put it there and how they even knew that what we needed, but God knew. But for whatever reason, that just opened up a whole new world for me. It's like God is interactive. He wants to walk with me. He wants to move in my life. He wants to teach me. He wants to show me his ways, and he wants me to learn to walk in obedience to him, and he responds to this. I remember a time in my life when I had warts. Now, I don't know if it was because I picked up toads. I don't know what it was. But I had these warts. I mean, there was probably 30 or 40 warts all over my hands. And I don't know, one day somebody was up preaching the Bible about healing. I thought, all right, I'll go get prayed for. And I went up and I got these warts here. You want to pray for me? Well, they didn't go away. So it was no big deal to me. It's like, whatever. But you know what? I can't even tell you how it happened, but I remember looking. It's just like, you know, something you forget about. It's like you walk around with a big old thing on your head. You don't think about it unless you look in the mirror. But I had all these things that I don't think about it, but all of a sudden, one day I look down and they're gone. They are absolutely gone. And I'm thinking, Lord, what did you do? How did you do that? I mean, you snuck one in on me, you know? I didn't even know about it. But, you know, it's just little things like this that, you know, he just began to show me, I'm really involved in your life, Kirk. I remember the day that I was ordained as a pastor, and I had been praying about what God wanted to do with my life, and the Lord gave me, like, insight and vision and understanding about what he wanted to do with my life. And the day that I got ordained and people laid hands upon me and there were prophecies. You know, this man prophesied almost like verbatim things that God had spoken to my heart. And I cried like a baby. I'm like, Lord, you know me. You're guiding me. You're directing me. And so I hope all of us can remember and point back to times like that. But I just want you to know that God wants to be interactive with us. He wants to be involved. He wants us to see it and recognize it, acknowledge it, and praise him for all those things. And I look back now, even before I was saved, there were two times in my life I almost died. Once I almost drowned when I was a six-year-old boy. My cousin and I were in the YMCA learning how to swim. And I was kind of a daredevil. It's like, if you dare me to do something, I would do it. And he said, I dare you to jump off the diving board. I'm like, I'll do that. You know, I didn't know how to swim yet, but I thought I had a I had a plan. My plan was I would go to the very edge and I would jump as far as I could to get to the edge of the other side of the pool. It wasn't a huge pool. So I figured I'll jump in, grab the side, and I'm out. Well, I jump, I land in the water, and I'm down, and I can't get up. I don't know how to get up. I could feel my arms kind of above the water, but I couldn't get my head above the water, and my life flashed in front of me, and I was only six, so it went fast. You know, it was like, boom, it was gone. And I thought about seeing my name on the front page of the newspaper, Boy Drowns at the Y, or something like that. I still remember that kind of flashing in front of me, and my lungs were saying, breathe, suck it in. And everything else was saying, no, hold it out. You know, don't breathe. And it was like this conflict going on. I was ready to take this big gulp of air, and I felt these hands come on my side. And it was this lifeguard that saved me. He saved me. But I look back and I think, Jesus saved me. Jesus saved me. Because he has a purpose for my life. He saved me. Maybe some of you have experienced something similar to that. But I see it as God was involved. Even though I wasn't saved, he still had his eye upon me. His thoughts toward us are more than the sand on the seashore. So David is going to speak things like this. In verse 2, he says, the Lord is my rock. My rock. When you read the stories which we have about David running from Goliath, there were times he was hiding in the rocks, he was hiding in the caves, he was in the fortress. But he saw all those as God. God was doing, not that God is a rock. When he says the Lord is my rock, he's not saying God is this box here. He's saying, hey, that box is nothing. God is the real rock. He's the one I'm standing on. Even though I'm standing over here in the physical rock, hiding away from my enemy, God's really the one who's hiding me. God is involved in my life. So he says, he is my rock. He is my fortress. You know, David held out in the fortress. He was in Jerusalem. Many times he was in the fort. But you know what he recognized? God is really my fortress. Not this city, not this physical location, not that physical rock, not that cave. God is the one. God is my rock. God is my fortress. God is my deliverer. Now, David was a mighty warrior, and he had many men who were strong warriors, but he said, God is the one who delivered me. It was not myself. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. My shield. David was a man, I'm sure, who carried a shield into battle, but what he understood was, this shield means nothing. God is my shield. God is the one who protects me. He's the one who's encamped around about me. My shield, he is the horn of my salvation. He is my stronghold, my refuge, my savior. From violent people, you save me. I want you to start thinking about all the beautiful things in your life and all the protections and all the blessing that has come into your life and be able to say, God is this. God has done this for me. God has done this for you, Mandy. God has done this. Praise the Lord for that. God is doing things in our life, and we have to begin to recognize that this is the Lord. He is my refuge. He is my shield. He is my strength. Verse 4, I called to the Lord, and he puts in this, who is worthy of praise. Remember, David is singing this. He says, I called to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I have been saved from my enemies. He recognized that his salvation from the enemies was directly related to the fact that I called to the Lord. I called to you, and you saved me from my enemies. It says here, the ways of death swirled about me. I don't know if you guys have seen some of these movies where the guys are out with swords and, you know, how just violent it is, and it's just death around you. This is what David is describing. He's describing a battle. The waves of death swirled about me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled around me. It's almost like he saw himself like these plants wrapping around his legs, or like a snake coiling around, trying to drag him down into death. The snares of death confronted me. And he says, in my distress, I called to the Lord. He didn't call out to his army, Joab and Abishai. He called out to the Lord. I called out to my God. And it says, from his temple, he heard my voice. And I like that because God is in his temple. He's in his holy place. He's in his holy mountain. He hears us. And I love this. It says, my cry came to his ears. Think about that. And that's that interactive relationship that David has. In the middle of my battles, in the middle of my struggles, in the middle of all this stuff that's happening around me, I called to you, Lord. And, you know, you're up there somewhere. I don't know where you are. You're in your holy hill. But somehow, this little voice in the middle of this battle came to your ear, and you delivered me. What a beautiful testimony, and what a great concept that we as people can have this same kind of a relationship with the Lord. I lost my job, but the Lord provided. He made a way. I mean, I don't know what your needs are. I don't know what kind of cords are wrapping around you, what kind of things are trying to bring you down, but lift your voice up because the Lord wants to interact with you. He wants to have a relationship. He wants to be involved. And he wants us, I think, even a greater thing than just blessing you, he wants us to be able to say, thank you, Lord. You are my shield. You are my fortress. You are my stronghold. You are everything to me. Verse 8. The earth trembled and quaked. The foundations of the heavens shook. They trembled because he was angry. I mean, can you see this for a minute? Think about this. David is getting this picture that I'm here, all this stuff is swirling around me, things are trying to drag me down, and I'm calling out to you, and the Lord gets angry, and he's coming down. That's how David sees it. He is coming to my rescue. I think of the cavalry, you know, coming in at the end, and it's like all this movement is coming to rescue you. David is seeing this. And so he describes it as the earth trembling and quaking, the foundations of the heavens are shaking, they tremble because he was angry. What's he angry about? People are trying to touch his anointed. All those enemies are gathered around my anointed king. And the Lord's coming to his defense. The Lord's coming to his rescue. It says smoke rose from his nostrils. I love this. The God is on our side. Smoke comes out of his nostrils. Anybody here ever had smoke come out of your nostrils? I mean, it's an awesome looking thing. And when the Lord comes down to deal with these enemies, smoke is rising from his nostrils. And David is singing this. Smoke rose from your nostrils. Consuming fire came out of his mouth. Burning coals blazed out of it. He parted the heavens and came down. Think about how David sees this. It's like God, you can see the Lord standing in and coming down to be his defense, to be his warrior. And he splits the heavens. And he comes riding through and smoke is coming out of his nostrils. And flames are coming out of his mouth to come on behalf of his beloved. This is our Lord. Dark clouds were under his feet. He mounted the cherubim and flew. Think about that. He soared on the wings of the wind. He made darkness his canopy around him, the dark rain clouds of the sky. Out of the brightness of his presence, bolts of lightning blazed forth. The Lord thundered from heaven. The voice of the Most High resounded. He shot his arrows and scattered the enemy. With great bolts of lightning, he routed them. The valleys of the sea were exposed. The foundations of the earth laid bare at the rebuke of the Lord, at the blast of breath from his nostrils. I'll tell you what, man, if you're in an army fighting a battle like David, and all these enemies are swirling around you, and these things are cooling around you, trying to drag you down to death, this is the idea of God that you want to have. You want to know that the Lord heard me. And not only did he hear me, he's going to come back and rescue me. He's angry about this situation. He's coming and he's blazing. Smoke is coming out. Fire is coming out. The heavens are splitting. The foundations of the earth are open. He's coming to shoot his arrows. He's riding on the cherubim. He's flying down here to help us. This is our God. This is how David saw it. This is how he understood the rescue of the Lord. Does that sound like a belief system? Well, it is a belief system, but it's much more than that. Thank you for that clarification, brother. I love the story of Stephen being stoned.
It's a good story.
Well, I meant the other kind. Stephen was being stoned. Sometimes we're afraid. We walk in our fears before they even happen. I'm afraid to be a martyr. You'll have the grace of God. If God ever calls you to be a martyr, His grace will be there. You don't have to worry about that. His grace is sufficient for us, for whatever. And Stephen was there, the first martyr, the first follower of Jesus Christ being killed because of his testimony. And they're throwing stones at him. And the Bible says he looked up and he saw Jesus. Anybody remember what position he was in? Standing. He was standing. I kind of get this feeling. It's not in the Bible, but Jesus went up to heaven to be seated at the right hand of the Father. Now he's standing. I wonder if he's kind of getting riled up there. But whatever it was, he certainly gave Stephen grace. Stephen looked up and he saw him, and his countenance changed. The joy of the Lord flooded his heart. That death was nothing to him. I mean, what would you do? You're there being stoned. Would you want to stay here? You see Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father, and he's like, I'm coming home, Lord. It was not really a question of which direction you would want to go. But we see the Lord, he comes to the defense of his people. He is our Savior. His death on the cross was the greatest picture and example of that. Verse 17, he reached down from on high and he took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. Up in verse 5, it says the waves of death and the torrents of destruction. It says in verse 17, it's kind of like you see this picture of God reaching down, drowning in all this confusion in the battle. And the Lord says, I'll pluck you out. I'm preserving you. I'm saving you. I'm watching over you. He reached down from on high. He took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. Can you see that David recognized that his deliverance in battle was because of the Lord? It wasn't because he was a great tactician, a great general, a great leader, a great warrior, a man of great courage. He said that it was the Lord who pulled me out. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes, listen to this, who were too strong for me. David had enemies that were too strong for him, but the Lord delivered him. They confronted me in the day of my disaster. The day of your disaster is the day of the Lord's deliverance. The Lord was my support. That's how he sees it. The Lord was my support. Enemies too strong, a day of disaster, but the Lord was there for me. He brought me into a spacious place, and he rescued me, listen to this, because he delighted in me. That's it. He loves you. He delights in you. We sing songs about our delight in the Lord, but he delights in us. I tell you what, I don't want anything else. What else could you want that the Lord Almighty, the creator of the universe, says, Mike, I delight in you. I delight in you. It brings joy to him to have a relationship. He delights in his people. I don't know what you think about the Lord and what you think he thinks of you, but I want you to underscore this in your Bible or at least in your mind. He delighted in me. That's why David is saying all this stuff happened. David had his flaws. We've read through lots of them. But the Lord delighted in this man. That's a beautiful testimony. Verse 21, the Lord has dealt with me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he has rewarded me. For I've kept the ways of the Lord. I'm not guilty of turning from my God. All his laws are before me. I have not turned away from his decrees. I have been blameless before him and have kept myself from sin. It's kind of what we were talking about earlier today. Are we really preparing ourselves to be that bride? Allowing the Lord to have his way in our life. David is saying, hey, you dealt with me according to my righteousness. Now again, we're not talking about working our way to salvation. We're talking about responding to God's dealing in our life as God's people. It says in verse 25, the Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness in his sight. And listen to what verse 26 says. To the faithful, you show yourself faithful. In a way, God deals with us like we are. Jesus said it this way. You don't forgive your brother, I'm not going to forgive you. He treats us how we are. To the faithful, you show yourself faithful. To the blameless, you show yourself blameless. To the pure, you show yourself pure. But to the devious, you show yourself shrewd. You see, God treats us the way we are. There's a kind of a give and take here. You save the humble, but your eyes are on the haughty to bring them low. He responds to us how we are. He gives grace to the humble. He resists the proud. That's how James puts it. Verse 29, you, Lord, are my lamp. The Lord turns my darkness into light. With your help, I can advance against a troop. With my God, I can scale a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. He shields all who will take refuge in him. I'd like to ask you today, what are you like? I wonder if the way that you are, the way that you carry about your life, if that's how you want the Lord to treat you. If you're unforgiving, he's not going to forgive, right? If you're humble, grace. Proud, resistance. What if you're faithful? He'll be faithful to you. See, God treats us in a way like we are. To me, when I read this, it makes me want to be a better man. I want to be a better man. Because I want the favor of God in my life. Yes, he delights in me, but David's saying here, in another level, another facet of this is, you treat me the way I deserve to be treated. We do that with our children, don't we? Has anybody ever spanked their child before? See, they deserve that, right? Because they were acting a certain way. So, okay, I'm going to treat you the way you deserve. Boom, there you go. Another one does something nice. Here's a piece of candy for you. You know, I don't know how you do it. Verse 32, who is God besides the Lord? Who is God besides the Lord? Anybody have an idea? There is none. There is none. There's only one. There's only one God. Who is God besides the Lord? Who is the rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and keeps my way secure. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He causes me to stand on the heights. He trains my hands for battle. My arms can bend a bow of bronze. You make your saving help my shield. Your help has made me great. You provide a broad path for my feet so my ankles do not give way. I pursued my enemies and I crushed them. I did not turn back till they were destroyed. I crushed them completely. They could not rise. They fell beneath my feet. You armed me with strength for the battle. You humbled my adversaries before me. You made my enemies turn their backs in flight, and I destroyed my foes. They cried for help, but there was no one to save them. They cried to the Lord, but he did not answer. I beat them as fine as the dust of the earth. I pounded and trampled them like mud in the streets. You have delivered me from the attacks of the peoples. You have preserved me as the head of nations. People I did not know now serve me. Foreigners cower before me as soon as they hear of me. They obey me. They all lose heart. they come trembling from their strongholds. But David recognized that all of his victory, all of the battles that he won, all of the honor he received from conquering nations was because of God. You did all this, Lord. I had victory, but it was you. You. It's all about you. We always say that. But David is here singing about it and recalling his life and recognizing how much God has been involved. So at the end, he says, therefore. I like, you know, when you say the word therefore, you ask the question, what's the therefore, therefore? Well, it's there because of everything he just said before this. The Lord lives. Praise be to my rock. And he uses that word rock, I think, four or five times in this chapter. Praise be to my rock. Exalted be my God. The rock, my Savior. He is the God who avenges me, who puts nations under me, who sets me free from my enemies. You exalted me above my foes. From a violent man, you rescued me. And Jesus still does that today. We have a different enemy. Our enemy is not flesh and blood, but nonetheless, we have victory through Jesus over that enemy. And so verse 50, therefore, I will praise you, Lord. If you don't have anything else to praise God for, open up this chapter and read it before you come to church. Therefore, I will praise you, Lord. Therefore, among the nations, I will sing the praises of your name. He gives his king great victories. He shows unfailing kindness to his anointed, to David and his descendants forever. Isn't that awesome? I got a piece of paper I want to pass out. Are those available? Do it. And we're going to close. Do it as fast as you can. Give me one of them too, Andrew. I'm asking you the question, and we're not going to do it here today, but I want you to think about it. All I did on this paper is I wrote down every place the word he was used. He. God. And I wrote down every place the word his is used. And I wrote down every place the word you was used. David speaking directly to the Lord. And I'm asking you, there's a fill in the blank. At the end of your life, what is it that you hope to tell others about the Lord? He what? He is, he did, he. But you need to think about this. And you need to, I think, rehearse that, not just at the end of your life, but do it periodically. This is the title of the message today. He. What has he done? How has he shown himself to you? In what ways has God interacted with your life? And at the end of your life, what do you hope to say to the Lord personally? You. Imagine yourself looking face to face at Jesus and saying, you, what would you say? You disappointed me. You healed me. You delivered me. You saved me. You took away my sin. You gave me your grace. You allowed me to serve you. You received my praise. You defeated my enemy. You gave me a wife. You gave me children. You blessed my life. I mean, what would you say? I hope that you could stand and look in the eyes of the Lord and you would run out of time telling him. But it's good to think about. I love this chapter because it's just a man singing praise for all that God has done in his life. And I pray that we can be that kind of a people. that every time we gather, not just here, but maybe in your own devotions, you're at home singing, you're not just singing a song because you like it. You're singing to Him. Maybe make up your own song. You took me from the streets of Anchorage, from eating out of the garbage cans, to walking in your kingdom on the streets of gold. There's a song for you right there. What's your song? We all have one. We all have a song. But you got to step back a little bit sometime and remember. Remember all that He's done.